Hebrews chapter 4. Where am I? Oh, there it is. Lord, we sure love you. I thank you for this book, Lord. I thank you that you preserved it for us and you gave it to us. Lord, I pray that we sure would take heed to it as we hear it preached and read it. And Lord, I do pray for Pastor Matt, Miss Keenan, Miss Tina, that you'd bless their Sunday school classes. Thank you for that little boy coming out today. And Lord, I pray that we plant that gospel seed down in his heart, that it might bring fruit and he might get saved one day. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our time in your book now, and I pray in Christ's name, amen. Okay, I am going to pick up in verse 6, just do some review. The Bible says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some, that's believers, must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. I mentioned to you last week, as I study this and as you study the book of Hebrews, this sin of unbelief is a big thing with God, and it was a big thing in the early church. And we're living in Laodicea, and I just see in the short time that I've been saved and watched the downfall of America and the church, you see that there's not much faith going on. And I'm not talking about the charismatics. I'm talking about the independent Baptists. And so verse 7 says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David today, after so long a time, that's the time from Joshua to David, according to Psalm 95, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So we've been warned about unbelief. We've been warned about hardening our hearts, drifting from the word, doubting the word. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? So even with the Jews getting into the promised land, that was not the final rest that God had for his people. When he talks about the final rest for him, that would be the millennial rest, the kingdom rest. Verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So if you make that application to the Jews, it'd be the kingdom rest. And if you make the application to save people, it would be the blessed hope getting out of this body and getting out of this world. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now here in verse number 10, the rest is salvation rest. And so you and I, we can't do anything to earn heaven, okay? And so as a Catholic, I was taught, keep the commandments, you know, take the sacraments, go to church, go to confession, and all that kind of stuff. And so on a nominal basis, I did that, hoping, you know, that my works would be good enough to get me into purgatory. When I got saved, I wasn't worried about sacraments. I wasn't worried about any of that stuff because I was resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I am going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. And I got news for you. The new birth is a supernatural birth. Man cannot do that. And so if the Holy Ghost doesn't wrought conviction in a heart, and then the word of God give faith to that same heart, people aren't going to get saved. It's not going to happen. It's absolutely supernatural. And then he says in verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, verse number 11 is talking about the rest of victory in the Christian life. And there's just not a whole lot of that going on. You know, guys, the Bible says what? By their fruits, ye shall know them. Listen, if you walk with the Lord and you read that book and you have a real close, intimate relationship, you can tell when somebody's carnal and somebody doesn't love the Lord. And you just watch their actions. You listen to their conversations. No. I don't know. See, I guess I was fortunate in the fact that I had tasted what the world had to offer. But it was no good. But, you know, I did have firsthand experience of getting down in the gutter and being down in that horrible pit and tasting that stuff. I am not better off for it. Pastor Matt and Miss Steph are better off than I was because they had a clean life. Their minds and their bodies were not defiled. And so then we, first generation Christians, we want to keep our children from that stuff. And then some of our rebellious brats, they can't wait to go taste what the Sodom and Gomorrah has. And I'll never figure that out. You hear me? As you know, people, church members, they can't wait to get to the world and feel so restricted in the house of God. So what do? They live a double life. What's that called? Hypocrisy. You're a hypocrite. And so, but there's labor. I personally, whenever I see the word labor, I think of a lady having a baby. To their thoughts that violate the Bible, because they what? They have so much of a high opinion of themselves, they think they overtake God. Let's look at another one, Romans 8. And thus, verse number 7 of Philippians said, in the peace of God. Well, most people don't have any peace because they're not living by faith. They fret and everything. Romans 8. Romans 8, look at verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is... When's the last time you admitted to God that you're carnal? You're not carnal? You never fall into carnality? The other day, I don't remember the circumstances right now. But it was me, and Nan and I were in the bedroom probably getting dressed for something or whatever. And I can't even remember now. And then she turns to me, she goes, oh boy, you need to get full of the Holy Ghost because you're full of the flesh. I know. And you know what she was? She's like, how can you fight with them when they're right?
Amen.
Now, I know you guys never have that problem. I mean, you all are always full of the Holy Ghost. You never get in the flesh, never say something untoward or anything like that, you know. But when the preacher does it, you get mad. And he's trying to help you.
Amen.
Because to be carnally minded is, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the most important thing you're planning for? Dan mentioned about the battle of the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, that's why this thing is so important. What you let in, see, the battleground of good and evil is your soul. Well, what affects your soul? Your body. What you allow in. We have told kids forever, don't touch one another until you're married. It's a sin. Fornication is a sin.
Amen.
It's wrong.
Amen.
You don't kiss. You don't hold hands.
Amen.
You don't hug. You don't fornicate.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So we have told them that physical touching before marriage is wrong. So some kid, his hormones or her hormones get the best of them, and they start touching somebody. And what do they say? This feels good. Right?
Yeah.
Wonder where they got that from. They got it from letting things in. What have they seen? How many movies have your kids seen? How many TV shows have your kids seen? How many movies have you watched where two people that were not married jumped into bed and testified about how happy they were and how wonderful they were? And the devil takes those seeds and plants them in a mind, the soul, the battlefield. And the preacher says, and the Bible says it's wrong, but the body says, boy, it sure feels good. What about what we hear? I am amazed. Steph was over the house the other day helping Mrs. Keenan, and I am deleting emails. Now, because I don't know what it is, I don't read them, I just delete them. And I said to Steph, I said, I don't know what I used to do with all my time before I deleted emails. And Steph goes, I don't even bother with them. I got a few hundred thousand on there. I thought, oh, praise the Lord. Well, what do you do on your texting?
Yeah.
On your social medias?
Amen.
How much time do you spend on all that stuff? You know, in a federal courtroom, you know what they have a sign on the door? Turn off your cell phones. When we preached at the mission, you know what we told everybody? First thing we said, take your hats off, turn your phones off.
Amen.
Think that'd be a good thing in church?
Amen.
That may be a good thing. But I think some of y'all are messing with stuff. You said, why do you say that? I can see the results in your life,
Amen.
In your conversation.
Yep.
And your lack of service.
Amen.
Things of God should be first.
Amen.
Well, your priorities are whacked out. So when somebody's, I've told you this forever, when your priorities are wrong, you make wrong decisions.
Amen.
So the ministries aren't of the church aren't important. What you want to do is important. Right? And then we go like this. Well, I didn't know about that. Oh, that's funny. Pastor Matt does a calendar, and it's on there, so you've known for a year
Amen.
The dates of everything. But that isn't a priority for you.
Yeah.
So you don't set those dates aside. You don't make those dates available for God. But you can make those dates available for you. How are we doing?
Amen.
Without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
It is impossible to please God. Hey, guys. I think the Lord's coming back. Plus, in a month, I'll be 71 years old. I am way closer to dying than I've ever been. You know, I have said this, and I mean this. I want to hear well done.
Amen.
I could care less what somebody else thinks about me. We were sitting around Friday night talking, and we're talking about the old preachers, and we got talking about Lanny Hasbrook. And then Dan said, you know, you can't find Lanny on Sermon Audio and these other sites. And I said, man, I would give anything. So I said, Tim was talking, Pastor Matt was talking, I was talking. And I said, you know what? I said, he used to pastor at Parkview. Long story short, I said, Tim, why don't you email those guys? That guy's still the pastor right there, Brown. So Tim emails them, and they sent him some of Lanny's messages. Now, look, don't ask me how Timothy did this, because I don't know. I just know that I opened up Tim's, was that a text or an email? It was a text. And in his text, there's seven or eight messages that are videos of Lanny preaching. So I hit the first one, and it's 2 months after he had heart surgery. So that was in the late 80s or the early 90s. It was before I had met him. Oh, man. Pastor Matt goes, Tim, don't send it to Dad for 2 months. And see, some of you all get excited about football game, hockey game, a movie. But yeah, I got excited about hearing that old man of God preach. So I turned it on last night. I turned another message on last night, and preaching comes out. Nan goes, who's that? I said, you can't tell? No, who is that? I said, listen. And she got it, Lanny. Man of God. You could take one of Lanny's messages, Caleb, you and I, somebody like you and I, we could take one of his messages. We could get three.
Amen.
He's a student. But he got preaching about apostasy. No, he didn't get preaching. In his introduction, he got. I love it.
Amen.
Some of you, you cringe. I know how much I need it.
Amen.
You can't get people to get in your face anymore.
Nope.
Everybody's offended.
Yeah.
Right? Caleb, I'm going to be honest to me. The only time I've ever been offended in preaching is when someone wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't care what you preach against. If you preach against snowshoes, I'd amen you.
Amen.
Now, I've never worn snowshoes, although in New York, there's a couple of times I wish I had them. Are y'all with me? But now we got preachers that are going to get up and leave a service if a preacher mentions a certain worldly sin. That's where we're at. It's pitiful. Absolutely pitiful. So, I'm in Romans about, I got off, didn't I? Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Okay, I haven't had a TV since 1978, but I get emails from a preacher, and he does some kind of research on television and the shows and what's on and stuff like that. Guys, you got to understand, in 1978, when I got rid of the television, cable was just coming in. And if you had cable, that meant you had like 10 or 11 or 12 channels, okay? And six of them would be Philly, and the other three would be Philly UHF. Listen, they had blue laws on TV. I have told you before, the worst show that I watched in 1978 as a saved person was MASH. Are y'all with me? I don't think it's a good show for a Christian to watch, but I watched it. Now they got queers on there. Now they got bedroom scenes in primetime television. Now they've got mothers mocking the fathers, children cussing, and all that kind of stuff. And you're going to listen to that, and you're going to watch that, and you don't think it's going to affect your mind or your children's mind? You're retarded. No, you are retarded. And listen, we get into music. That world's music, I cringe. Don't you cringe? Man, if you and I use the N-word in public, we're racist. But those black rappers use that N-word all the time with vulgar language, and that's art? Yeah. Are y'all with me? I am telling you, what we look at and what we listen to, it affects us. That's why there's so little faith. Everything's touchy-feely. Verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I hate to admit this, but we were driving to church and somebody cut me off and then went real slow. I had a great time with the Lord this morning. And so after I got over that little situation, my wife turns to me, she goes, are you okay? And I said, I will be. That's how quick the flesh comes up. But that's how quick I want to get right with the Lord. I don't want to live in the flesh. I mean, Caleb, what if I get in the flesh for a couple of days and the Lord comes back? Well, I'm in the flesh. I don't want to do that. Amen. Talk about short accounts. I want to keep short accounts. Amen. So let me give you one. Well, you know the verse as well as I do. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it's what? It's impossible. So guys, I think the Bible says to examine yourselves. I think we should examine ourselves. Amen. Where's the faith in my life? Where am I walking by faith? Putting Him first. I think that we are blessed because our Lord obeyed in our stead. His obedience of faith enabled me to get saved. Well, now, what would please the Lord is if I would obey by faith. So we talk about follow the steps of Jesus. How about living by faith? How about trusting the Lord? Okay, so verse number, I'm back in Hebrews, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 4. For Brother Jack had a great message that he preached, and I've used the outline many times about faith and how one of the things that you had to do by faith is experience it. In other words, Caleb, I can tell you about Miss Keenan and I, but we can't make the decisions for you and Joy to live by faith. Are y'all with me? But when you hear other people living by faith, it should encourage you to live by faith. And Brother Jack, one of Jack's points was you need to experiment with faith. You need to experience faith. Oh, and faith is exciting. And then he talked about how him and Miss Yvonne were down at Tennessee Temple going to school. They didn't have any money, and they needed some food, and somebody brought a box of canned goods to Brother Jack and Miss Yvonne. But the canned goods had no labels on them. And so they open up one can, and, you know, there's peas in it, and they open up another can, and there's, you know, lima beans in it or something. Open up another can, and it's dog food. He said, it's exciting. You know, don't know what's going to happen. They didn't eat it. But really, a life of faith is exciting. If you work everything out in your life, you know you did it. Guys, I guess the older I get more, is the word contemplative, thinking about, looking back at what God has done in my life. Listen, I'm a nobody. I was the oldest of seven kids in a Roman Catholic family. I'm not very intelligent. I don't have any talents, abilities. And God in heaven has been so good to me. Amen. I want to be good to God. Amen. Well, you're only going to do that by faith. Amen. We shouldn't fight the book. Amen. We should obey it. We shouldn't fight the preacher. We should encourage him. I am telling you, when that preacher says something that hits right home to you, you should say, Lord, thank you that a man has the courage to preach on my sin, to try to help me. Amen. Listen, my goal, and I know Pastor Matt, our goal was never how many people could we get into church. It was how many people could we help. Well, how can you help people? Preach to them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you look at that verse number 12, he says, for the word of God is quick. Now, everybody wants to criticize. Dan, do me a favor. Look up Numbers 16, 30 and 33 for me. Everybody wants to criticize the King James Bible. You know what they want us to talk like? They want us to talk like the blacks of America. Guttural street language. This is the King's English. Amen. We are supposed to be speaking English, not a guttural ghetto language. Okay? So just because our education is failing us and we don't know the definition of words, that doesn't mean that you change the words. Amen. And if you'll read your Bible, the Bible will always define words for you. Okay, so we all know quick means living because we've either looked it up or heard somebody preach it or something like that. Or we've read Numbers 16, verse 30, Dan.
But if the Lord make a new thing, first open up, call them up. Quick. Then you shall understand.
Verse
33.
Okay, so when says it went down quick into the pit, does that mean they went down fast into the pit? No, they were alive, right? Yeah. Quick. So the word of God is what? It's alive. A dead thing cannot give life. In order for something to give life, it has to be alive. That book is alive. Now, I don't have this kind of mind. You know, listen, Pastor Matt talked about people are different and people have different intellect. Talking about kids and kids of different intellect and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's true. And, you know, some of us were born with what we got, and that's how you get it. Well, Dr. Ruckman was a genius. His IQ was probably 180 or something like that. Dr. Ruck, you understand, if you take a history book or you take a geography book, there's so much information in that book. And Doc would say this. Doc averaged reading a book a day all through his lifetime, ever since before he was saved. And so you take a book and you read it, then you get all the knowledge out of the book. There's no more knowledge to get out of that book. Does that make any sense to you? Now, I personally have never gotten all the knowledge out of a book, but a genius would. So what Dr. Ruckman knew is he knew books. And he would say this. He said, now, sometimes, you know, you get into technical physics and chemistry, and I might have to read the book two or three times to get everything. I could read it 2,000 or 3,000 times a night. Okay? He says, but I got it. So he said, I got saved, and they gave me a Bible. So I said, okay, got a Bible. It's got so much knowledge in there, so I'm going to read it. And so Doc reads through his Bibles, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, and after he read through it 5, 6, 7 times, whatever the, he says, I've got it. And then he started reading it again. He started getting more stuff. He said, oh, I've got it. And then he read it again, and he got more stuff. It's alive. He said, he wasn't saved very long. He said he would set that Bible on his bureau at night when he went to bed, and then he'd set something on top of it. Because he thought it was moving around or something. See, he knew books. And then he came to the realization, that is God's book. Amen. I'll never get everything that's in there. For anybody to say, well, I know it all. Well, I've got it all. You're an idiot. Okay, I am out of time. Thank you for your attention. Tim, close in prayer for me.